Trust and Obey is an old hymn, and many of you know, if you've ever done a reading or shared in our service, Harry has an intense outline. I don't know that that should surprise any of you. He is a very structured person, and in that intense outline, he tells us exactly what's going on in the margins. And he explicitly said for that hymn, we're only doing three verses, the first, the third, and the fifth. But what he omitted was calling that out on your insert. And I heard you singing. I'm like, they're not singing what I'm singing. What is going on here? Like, no, I'm singing the right verse. So I had to pull the copy out, and then I looked at it and said, yeah, he didn't put on. Usually he puts verse 1, 3, and 5. That's okay. I love that song. We could have done all five, and I would have just shortened my message anyway. But we won't tell him that. This morning, the service, the sermon is called A Pledge to Keep, and I based it off of the reading that Harry had in the service for the Old Testament, Psalm 17. And I want to give you a little bit of background of that before we launch into it. It's a prayer of David, and there are some commentaries, and I want to read a little bit out of one of the commentaries and some of the others to set the stage here. David would not have been a man after God's own heart if he had not been a man of prayer. He was a master in the sacred art of supplication. He flies to prayer in all times of need, as a pilot speeds to the harbor in the stress of a tempest. So frequent were David's prayers that they could not all be dated and entitled. And hence, this simply bears the author's name and nothing more. A prayer of David. The smell of the furnace is upon the present psalm, but there is evidence in the last verse that he who wrote it came out unharmed out of the flame. We have in the present plaintive song an appeal to heaven from the persecutions of earth. And then there were little commentaries about each verse, and this one was on Martin Luther, the first verse, and I thought it fitting this morning what Martin Luther had to say. Hear, attend, give ear. This petition, repeated thrice, indicates a great power of feeling and many tears, because the craft of the ungodly, in truth, grieves and afflicts the spiritual man more than their power and violence. For we can get a knowledge of open force and violence, and when we see the danger, can in some way guard against it. And then Thomas Gouge said, though thy prayers be never so well framed in regard of words, and reverently performed as to thy eternal gestures, yet all is nothing if thy heart be not in the duty. For prayer is not a work of the head or hand, or eyes only, but chiefly a work of the heart, and therefore called in Scripture the pouring out of the soul and the pouring out of the heart. And indeed, the very soul of the prayer lieth in the pouring out of the soul before God. Whensoever, therefore, you draw near unto God in prayer, let it be with thine heart and soul. Otherwise, thou canst have no assurance of audience and acceptance. All of that out of just the first verse of Psalm 17. Now, I want to take Psalm 17 and look at it a little differently than just a prayer, but more as a pledge. A pledge is considered to be a statement of individual commitment and resolve to honor the words spoken. We all grew up memorizing and saying pledges. When we say the word pledge, most likely the first thing all of you thought about was the Pledge of Allegiance, the pledge to the flag of our great country. How about this pledge? I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood uniting all mankind in service and love. Or this pledge, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Does anybody remember those pledges? A few of you are shaking your heads. Vacation Bible school. Those were the three pledges we began every vacation Bible school with. If you didn't go to VBS, you didn't learn them. Now, I have to be honest. I knew the pledges, but I had to go look them up to make sure I had the words right. They've changed some of the words, just like the hymns. It doesn't, and the Christian flag, it doesn't really say one brotherhood uniting all mankind in service and love. They've twisted that last phrase to something else, and I didn't write it down because, you know, it's not King James, and I don't think it's right. Anyway, Webster defines the word pledge more intensely. Abailment, first definition, abailment of chattel as security for a debt or other obligation without involving transfer of title. Chattel is property that's not considered real estate. It's something else that you have. The chattel so delivered. The contract incidental to such a bailment. The second definition, the state of being held as a security or guarantee. Something given as security for the performance of an act. And then the third definition, a binding promise or agreement to do or forbear. A promise to join a fraternity, sorority, or secret society. A person who has so promised. I have to be honest, when I think of pledge in the position of pledging to something, a person, I think of the Naval Academy. I didn't even go there. But I think of the plebes and the pledges as they go through the Naval Academy. The first definition of Webster is more constructive on what a pledge is, and that it involves assets of some type to secure an obligation. Webster lists synonyms for pledge to be oath, promise, troth, vow, and word. Now, oaths, to me, always held a much stronger binding contract, if you will. When I say oath, what comes to mind? The oath of the President of the United States? The oath in a courtroom? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Or maybe, for those of us that serve, the oath given to military service. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I will bear faith and allegiance to the same, and I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to my regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. So an oath to me always came across as more binding than a pledge. A pledge are like words that I want to do. And an oath is like, I will do. The difference may be subtle, but it is significant. A pledge can be given by anyone, but an oath is typically associated with an office or a position of responsibility. Let's look back now at the Old Testament reading this morning from Psalm 17. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love. Would this be considered a pledge or an oath? Is the author David pledging to God he will try to do good? Or is he taking an oath before God stating that he is good? Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. He is declaring that his prayers do not come from lips that have been deceitful, that have not lied or misled his fellow countrymen. He has been honest. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. He is inviting, David, he is inviting God to probe his heart at night, while his conscience is quiet and his subconscious is awake. He is not fearful of what God may find in his subconscious, because he has committed himself to God's teachings and direction. He further states, I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. David is so strong in his conviction to follow God's leading that he has resolved not to speak evil of anyone. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. David confirms that he has stayed away from the ways of men and their violent actions. His daily steps have held tightly to God's teachings and has not diverted from God's direction. In a way, one could say that David sounds a bit boastful. But is that the case? I wish we could all state these words every single day and know that we have not transgressed. And while these words might be our daily pledge or even our oath of Christian office, we all know that there are times where we have misstepped, where we have slipped off of God's path and succumbed to the constant taunting of the evil one in our lives. David's words should comfort us in that we can proactively approach every day with a renewed heart and commitment to do our Christian oath, that we have received God's forgiveness for our transgressions. After all, was David perfect? Did he ever divert from God's path? Did he ever do anything against the will of God? Probably the first thing that popped into everybody's minds when I asked that question was Bathsheba. Was I right? Yeah, that's pretty much the first thing that pops into... Maybe that's our society around us, but that's the first thing that popped into our minds is Bathsheba. A time in David's life where he allowed his desires to override the oath he made to God. A time in his life where he allowed the evil one to twist the desires of his heart and his commitment to God. Have you been like David? Have I been like David? Have we done things against God's desires and teachings? Can you recall a time in your life where you slipped off the path, even though you pledged an oath to follow God? Out of David's betrayal came a son. That son died at a very young age. But a second child was given to David and Bathsheba, and it was a son. And his name was Solomon. And the scriptures state that God loved
Solomon. God loves all of us, even when we do bad things and disappoint Him. Even when we disobey Him, He welcomes us with open arms as we seek His forgiveness. No matter what you or I have done in our lives, God still loves us and wants to see us return to Him. To come back to Him with a renewed commitment to our oath. Always striving to be perfect, as the words David penned in Psalm 17. The simple song we heard earlier, sung by the National Christian Choir, is directly to this point. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you and me. What a small set of words to describe an undescribable love. He gave His life for us and has prepared a room for us in His Father's house, that we may be reunited with Him. Our God is a loving and forgiving God. He is the only, capital G, God. His love for us is more than any of us can ever comprehend. We are trusting in Him to accept our faults, our missteps, our failures, as we continue to honor our oath to Him. So was David boastful, or was David committing an oath, a pledge, that he would live his life in the way that God would have him live it? I pray that each of us can be so boastful in our lives and our prayers. Let us pray. Father, so often the word pledge is taken for granted. And so often the oaths that are taken are done whimsically, almost jokingly. Our society has taken away the seriousness that is assigned to pledges and oaths. May we never take lightly the example that David set forth for us in Psalm 17. May those words burn in our heart, such that every time we are tested and the evil one tries to twist the desires of our hearts and our minds, and the desires of this world, that those words pop back into our minds, that our lips may not speak evil things, that we may not listen to those of this world to guide us, to tell us what to do, that we may listen and be guided by You, and may that oath that we take forever remind us that we are Christians, that we have named ourselves after Christ, that we may lead the world to You. We ask these things in Your name. Amen.